Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is April 8, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Power Ledger inks deal to allow French consumers to customize green energy mix. Overstock is set to finally pay out its digital security shareholder dividend. Cryptopia users win victory in court case over crypto assets worth over $100 million. Hacker exploits flaw in decentralized Bitcoin exchange BISC to steal $250,000. Wrapped Bitcoin aims to kickstart DeFi on Tezos blockchain. Bitcoin Cash undergoes halving event, casting shadow on miner profitability. Banking API platform Scylla raises $7.7 million on promise of programmable money. Today's halving may be non-event for Bitcoin Cash prices. First Mover, a sneak preview of Bitcoin's halving in real time. Chicago's trading firms look to DeFi with new alliance. Now let's get started. Power Ledger inks deal to allow French consumers to customize green energy mix. Power Ledger is moving into the French power market with a partnership that enables the tracking and certification of green energy supplies on the blockchain. On April 1, the Australia-based blockchain startup announced a deal with French green energy retailer Equator that will enable French households to have greater control of, and customize, their energy mix for the first time. Utilizing a new blockchain-powered project known as Vision and leveraging Power Ledger's own Ethereum-based ERC-20 POWR tokens, users will be able to track and certify where the energy that powers their homes is coming from. This marks a world first in energy trading, with customers able to select their energy mix, knowing it's certified via an immutable blockchain platform, said Power Ledger Executive Chairman Dr. Gemma Green in a company blog announcement. See also, Power Ledger, Indian government to boost renewables with P2P energy trading initiative. Whether consumers want to source energy from their neighbor's solar rooftop panels or a wind farm in Bordeaux, our platform gives consumers choice and control over their energy source, Green added. Also planned for a second stage of the project is the ability for users to buy and sell excess renewable energy through peer-to-peer trading. The planned rollout will support the certification and verification of 100% of renewable electricity in an effort to capture changing global trends for energy supply. The news comes at a time when green energy endeavors are being explored in earnest throughout Europe. Equator, which sells electricity from a mix of wind, solar and hydroelectricity projects and currently serves more than 220,000 customers across France, will provide users access to the blockchain-powered project which is planned to go live by the end of 2020. Overstock is set to finally pay out its digital security shareholder dividend. Overstock.com plans to distribute its long-delayed digital security shareholder dividend on May 19. Shareholders will receive one digital voting Series A1 preferred stock (OSTKO) for every 10 of the online retailer's shares they hold on April 27, the record date, according to Overstock's Tuesday press release. OSKTO is a digitally enhanced security that trades on affiliate TZERO's blockchain-backed platform, the only trading system that can support it. If the distribution goes without a hitch, it may validate a corporate gambit whose creator, former Overstock CEO Patrick Byrne, considered revolutionary. Byrne thought the blockchain dividend could drive growth for TZERO's blockchain trading system and simultaneously expose the slop he said was inherent to Wall Street's capital markets. Byrne resigned less than a month after his proposal's July 2019 reveal. Overstock's new leadership continued to push for blockchain dividends, calling it of great importance to the company's blockchain strategy, in Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) regulatory filings. In particular, we believe the successful issuance of the dividend will demonstrate to other issuers and market participants that this technology is scalable and has significant benefits to all market participants, CEO Jonathan Johnson and Chairwoman of the Board Allison H. Abraham wrote in the undated filing from Overstock's investor site. Overstock's May 19 dividend issuance will be more a theoretical demonstration than technological vindication, however. As described in the Tuesday filing, OSTKO is a digitally enhanced security, not a full digital asset. That's because OSTKO's on-chain representation is a legally irrelevant courtesy carbon copy of the security's real ownership records held on transfer agent ComputerShares conventional records, which update before the distributed ledger does. Johnson told CoinDesk on Tuesday the technological concession helps the asset fit within regulatory parameters. OSTKO is being registered with the SEC. It's essentially a bridge. The goal is that as regulators and market participants become increasingly comfortable with DLT, blockchain technology, it will gradually play a larger role in the overall process to the benefit of investors, regulators, and other market participants, he said. Cryptopia users win victory in court case over crypto assets worth over $100 million. In the fallout from the New Zealand cryptocurrency exchange Cryptopia, users at last have a little good news. In a court ruling over how the remaining crypto assets will be distributed, Justice David Jendal at the High Court in Christchurch said users of the exchange are entitled to the assets they hold in Cryptopia accounts, deciding they should be classed as property as they were held in separate trust accounts. An alternative ruling would have seen the assets classed as normal debt to be distributed among both users and creditors. Justice Jendal described the case in a document published on Wednesday, saying, effectively, the tussle which is before the court is one between the creditors of Cryptopia on the one hand and the account holders who have invested in the various digital assets, the account holders, on the other. Also read, ship-to-ship trade and other secrets of North Korea's illicit $1.5 billion crypto stash. The company had over 800,000 users with positive balances that would need to be reimbursed, but 37 creditors and 90 shareholders have also been vying for their stake in the remaining assets of the company. Following the hack in January of last year, it was discovered Cryptopia had lost around 30 million New Zealand dollars, 17.85 million United States dollars, in various cryptocurrencies funds that are still missing, with police still not having disclosed if they have any real suspects. The breach left crypto assets worth around 170 million New Zealand dollars, 101 million United States dollars, held by the exchange. Grant Thornton New Zealand, which was assigned to oversee the firm's liquidation process last May, is still trying to ascertain the details of which users held which cryptocurrencies due to poor record keeping at Cryptopia. Also disclosed in the filing, creditors would likely end up with a share of other Cryptopia funds to the value of 5.4 million New Zealand dollars, 3.2 million United States dollars. That's less than half of the claimed 12.7 million New Zealand dollars, 7.5 million United States dollars, of which New Zealand's tax department also seeks 5 million New Zealand dollars, 2.9 million United States dollars. Also read, a new ultrasonic hack can exploit your Siri. With lawyers representing the creditors and the exchange users both taking different stances on the key issue of whether the crypto assets are indeed property, the creditors said they are not. Justice Jendal ultimately said, I reach the conclusion that the cryptocurrencies here situated in Cryptopia's exchange are a species of intangible personal property and clearly an identifiable thing of value. Without question, they are capable of being the subject matter of a trust. The argument that cryptocurrency is mere information and therefore it is not property is a simplistic one and, in my view, it is wrong in the present context, he added. I dismiss it. Hacker exploits flaw in decentralized Bitcoin exchange BISC to steal $250,000. Decentralized exchange DEX BISC rang the alarm bells last night after a hacker exploited a significant software flaw to steal more than $250,000 worth of cryptocurrency from users. BISC, which allows users to exchange crypto anonymously, abruptly disabled trading late Tuesday night after it uncovered a critical security vulnerability. At the time, the exchange did not release any information regarding the nature of the flaw or whether user funds were safe. But 18 hours after it halted trading, BISC said it took the unprecedented step after finding an attacker was exploiting a flaw in the software to steal cryptocurrency from other users. About 24 hours ago, we discovered that an attacker was able to exploit a flaw in the BISC trade protocol, targeting individual trades in order to steal trading capital. We are aware of approximately 3 BTC and 4,000 XMR stolen from 7 different victims. This is the situation as we know it so far, BISC said in a statement to CoinDesk. The value of the crypto stolen was roughly $22,000 worth of Bitcoin (BTC) and $230,000 worth of Monero (XMR), according to CoinDesk data at press time. In total, that comes to more than $250,000. To carry out the thefts, the attacker was able to set other users' default fallback address the destination to which crypto is sent to if a trade fails to their own. Posing as a seller, they would start a trade with a buyer and simply wait for the time limit to run out. Rather than going to the legitimate owner, the digital assets arrived with the attacker, along with the buyer's payment and security deposit too. See also, Binance's DEX now supports AML compliance via CipherTrace. The flaw in question came as part of a recent update to the trading protocol, which was designed to improve decentralization and remove trusted third parties from the platform. BISC managed to fix the flaw by 12 o'clock Coordinated Universal Time Wednesday and told CoinDesk just before publication that trading had just resumed again. BISC released onto testnet back in late 2018 as an exchange structured as a decentralized autonomous organization, DAO. It works in much the same way as other DEXs, but users can trade anonymously as there are no registration or identity verification requirements. With the platform based on a distributed network, each user effectively acts as a node. Although BISC's developers had suspended trading, the exchange's decentralized nature means users could override the suspension should they wish. See also, new crypto exchange Altspit says it will close following hack. In most cases of an exchange hack, the attacker can be booted off the trading platform for good. Not so with BISC. One of the DEX's associated developers told CoinDesk that although the flaw was fixed, there was nothing to prevent the attacker whose identity cannot be known from accessing and trading on the platform again. Anyone can use BISC, there is no censorship, the developer said. Just like anyone can use Bitcoin, there is no way to ban someone from Bitcoin. Wrapped Bitcoin aims to kickstart DeFi on Tezos blockchain. Tokenized Bitcoin (BTC) is coming to the Tezos blockchain. Announced Wednesday, the Bitcoin Association Switzerland, Tezos Foundation and multiple partners will issue the first tokenized version of Bitcoin on the Tezos blockchain, TZBTC. The asset will also be the first vehicle for Tezos-based decentralized finance, DeFi, according to a press release from the association. Each TZBTC represents one Bitcoin on the Bitcoin blockchain and is minted under the new FA1.2 Tezos token standard. The TZBTC brings the brand and liquidity of Bitcoin to the Tezos blockchain and gains the potential for rich functionality made possible by Tezos smart contracts, Bitcoin Association Switzerland President Lucas Betzhardt said in a statement. Read more, what Tezos and Bitcoin have in common. Another wrapped Bitcoin project was announced for Ethereum last week, TBTC. Building a bridge that allows Bitcoin to interact with DeFi makes a lot of sense, investor Fred Ersom said of that project. Adding a bridge for Tezos to the most liquid cryptocurrency follows a similar logic. Roman Schneider, CTO and head of operations at the Tezos Foundation, said the addition of Bitcoin is just the tip of the spear as the community builds out DeFi products on Tezos. This is kind of the first wrapped product that we see, and there's not much you can trade against at the moment, but there is a roadmap, Schneider said in a phone interview. Next up, Schneider said, are atomic swaps for building out DeFi exchanges and perhaps a wrapped Ether, ETH, token. Read more, makers of Keek Protocol raise $7.7 million to bring trustless BTC to DeFi. DeFi grew rapidly on Ethereum in 2019 and largely began with wrapped Bitcoin, WBTC, issued on platforms such as BZX, Compound and DYDX. A little over a year later, and WBTC makes up a small percentage of Ethereum-based DeFi's $700 million market cap, according to DeFi Pulse. TZBTC won't be alone on Tezos, however. The token could soon be joined by Tezos-based DeFi protocol Staker DAO, which is planning to launch this quarter, according to its website. Staker DAO automates capital allocation for staking on various protocols to earn yield for investors. TZBTC will be overseen by numerous organizations, according to the token's website. Bitcoin Association Switzerland will regulate keyholders who mint and burn TZBTC. Keyholders include Swiss crypto firms Enacta, Lexer, Swiss Crypto Tokens and Taurus. Read more, there's now a DAO for deciding which blockchains to stake on. Betzhart told CoinDesk the idea first originated with Swiss crypto tokens, but the nonprofit took up the project, which retains a Bitcoin-first bent. Our interest is to push the adoption of Bitcoin. So we're already involved with some other things to make Bitcoin even more usable, Betzhart said. Bitcoin Cash undergoes halving event, casting shadow on miner profitability. Bitcoin Cash, the blockchain that forked off Bitcoin in 2017, has just reduced its block rewards by half, causing many miners to see gross margins drop to near zero. The world's fifth largest cryptocurrency network by market capitalization reached block height 630,000 at roughly 12:20 coordinated universal time on Wednesday by design, triggering the so-called halving event that reduced the network's mining reward from 12.5 Bitcoin Cash (BCH) per block to 6.25. That means miners competing for block rewards on the network will see their immediate mining revenue reduced by half, resulting in no or slight returns despite investments in costly mining equipment. The mining difficulty and hash rate on Bitcoin Cash, a measure of how much miner power is participating on the network, has recently been on a downward trend in the run-up to the halving, dropping from around 5 exahashes per second (AS) in mid-February to 3.3 AS currently. See also, Bitcoin halving, explained. The trend is in line with the price decline of BCH, which dropped from $492 around mid-February to as low as $165 in mid-March, though it's since bounced back over $250. At press time, BCH is changing hands at $268, according to CoinDesk's price index, a 2.7% jump over the last 24 hours. Based on data from F2 Pool, at BCH's current price and the network's latest hash rate, a wide range of the mining equipment that was launched in 2018 and early 2019 are now generating negative daily profits, if assuming an average electricity cost of 5 cents per kilowatt hour, kWh. Even some of the most recent models that hit the market late last year and in early 2020 are seeing gross margin drop to around 10%. Only those most powerful models like MicroBT's WhatsMiner M30S or Bitmain's Antminer S19 or S17 Pro would be able generate a margin above 30%, but the manufacturers have not yet been able to deliver these models to the market in large numbers. See also, manufacturers mark down Bitcoin miners as price drop, having change calculus. That said, as more unprofitable miners unplug from the Bitcoin Cash network as is expected, mining difficulty will further decrease, dynamically increasing the mining revenue for those who can afford to stick to the game. Furthermore, specialized mining devices, commonly known as ASIC miners, based on the SHA-256 algorithm which is adopted by Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV, are able to switch between different networks that use the same algorithm. The Bitcoin Cash event foreshadows the halving scheduled for the Bitcoin network in about 35 days. Bitcoin is 26 times larger than BCH in terms of market capitalization. The 14-day rolling computing power connected to the Bitcoin network is currently at 105 AS, which has seen a 5% uptick after having decreased by nearly 16% late last month. Meanwhile, Bitcoin SV, the network that forked off the Bitcoin Cash blockchain in late 2018, is also scheduled to go through a block reward reduction in about a day. The price of BSV has jumped by 9% to $209 over the past 24 hours ahead of the scheduled event. Banking API platform Sila raises $7.7 million on promise of programmable money. Banking services provider Sila has raised $7.7 million to build out features for a platform that allows entrepreneurs to easily launch programmable, USD-pegged stablecoins. Sila is an application programming interface API platform for entrepreneurs to quickly tap banking tools. The platform has a developer suite that issues an ERC-20 stablecoin called Sila Token, Sila. Every transaction on the platform is done using the token, which is pegged 100 to 1 to the US dollar, i.e., if a customer deposits $100, they receive 10,000 Sila. The expansion of Sila's platform could one day make bespoke stablecoins a common feature of traditional fintechs. After several months of testing, Sila went into full production in October 2019 with 4 clients. The company expects to have 20 clients by the end of this quarter and 40 clients by the end of the year, according to Sila CEO Shamir Karkal. Read more, former Simple Bank co-founder unveils new blockchain payments startup. I am not sure how much of that is early stage or just that the whole world is forced to do better electronic payments, Karkal said. This past month, we have more large companies in the pipeline and more customers overall than we have ever had. Still, only about 20% of Sila's customers are using the programmable parts of Sila, such as automatically converting between tokenized land registries or by setting limits on how much someone can withdraw from an account. Sila's growth plans currently, it takes around 2 business days for customers to purchase tokens after they have connected their bank account to Sila's platform. With the new funding, Sila plans to install card payments, international payments, business ID verification and begin issuing tokens within 1 business day. Its partner bank, Memphis-based Evolve Bank & Trust, also plans to connect to the Clearing House system, a network started by big banks that provides access to instant payments. Evolve provides insurance from the U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, for the funds that tokens are pegged to. FDIC insurance only protects a user's funds in the case that Evolve has a bank failure. Read more, few banks will touch crypto firms, but Silvergate wants to touch Bitcoin itself. The $7.7 million round was co-led by Madrona Venture Group and Oregon Venture Fund, with participation from Mucker Capital, 99 Tartans, TransferWise CEO Tavit Kinrikas and entrepreneur Jerry Newman. As part of the deal, Hope Cochran, managing director at Madrona, and Rick Holt, lead investor at Oregon Venture, are joining Sila's board. Matt Compton, general partner at Oregon Venture, will join Sila as a board observer. The round was raised in 4 stages, starting with $770,000 that was raised in the spring of 2018, while the bulk of funds came in 2 weeks ago, Karkal said. Crypto use case pre-funding accounts with tokens is what crypto exchange Vertbase plans to eventually do with the Sila platform, said Vertbase CEO Justin Seidel. Once USD is converted to Sila, settlement times go from 2 business days down to 1 minute. Currently, the exchange just uses Sila as a payments processor. Before using Sila, Vertbase users wouldn't see their funds be transferred for 5 to 7 business days. Customers regularly filled out support tickets when they saw money leave their bank account for a week without getting any Bitcoin, Seidel said. There are lots of opportunities to build out what has been laid as a foundation, and we're very excited that we're not relying on ancient technology, he said. Today's halving may be non-event for Bitcoin Cash prices. Bitcoin, BTC, offshoot Bitcoin Cash, BCH, the fifth largest cryptocurrency by market value, underwent its first halving Wednesday, but the process is unlikely to have a bullish impact on the cryptocurrency's price, say analysts. The event, programmed to occur every 4 years, took effect around 12:20 Coordinated Universal Time, reducing the rewards for block mined on the Bitcoin Cash blockchain to 6.25 BCH from the current 12.5 BCH. The cryptocurrency rose to a four-week high of $265 early Tuesday and was last seen trading near $276, up 2% on a 24-hour basis, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Cash Price Index. See also, Bitcoin Cash approaches milestone with first halving expected Wednesday. Meanwhile, Bitcoin, the top cryptocurrency, is trading in the red near $7,260, while Bitcoin SV, BSV, a cryptocurrency that forked off BCH, is still up over 6%. BSV, too, will undergo a reward halving on Friday, while Bitcoin's next halving is due in May. Some observers believe the halving, which creates a supply deficit, could result in a big rally for BCH. The above argument, however, does not take into account two important factors: the per-block revenue will drop by 50% following the reward halving, and miners operate on cash or fund mining costs by liquidating their holdings. Essentially, halving leads to a drop in mining profitability and may force small or inefficient miners to shut operations. These players usually offload their holdings while exiting the market, leading to a slide in price. Put simply, halvings are not always bullish. As an example, Litecoin, LTC, underwent a halving on August 5, 2019, following which the price fell from $100 to $50 in the 4 months to December. Its hash rate, or computing power on the network, also tanked over the same time period. The conventional crypto wisdom that halvings magically induce a bull run such that the real USD value of miner revenue does not cut in half is naive wishful thinking, encouraging investors to be fooled by correlation, causation, said Zach Resnick, managing partner at Unbound Capital. See also, looking for a halving payday? Quick wins in investing are rare. Indeed, if the post-halving price rise is strong enough to compensate for the drop in the revenue, the small and inefficient miners will likely remain active and there would be less incentive to shift base to other blockchains or exit the industry completely. That, however, looks unlikely, as the traditional markets are not out of the woods yet and the coronavirus outbreak is expected to have a prolonged negative impact on the global economy, as noted by Goldman Sachs. As a result, investors in both traditional and cryptocurrency markets are likely to stay cautious. Note that Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, in general, have more or less moved in tandem with equities over the last 6 weeks or so. Given the current market conditions, this bullish speculative frenzy coming to counteract the halving doesn't seem likely this time around. Thus, miner revenue will truly halve, leading to many miners becoming unprofitable and shutting down, said Resnick. Richard Rosenblum, co-founder at GSR, believes the impending halving could lift prices, but not enough to not outweigh the bigger rewards and higher upside that Bitcoin will offer many miners for the next month until it, too, halves its rewards. See also, Bitcoin halving, explained. If Bitcoin Cash miners do make a move to Bitcoin's blockchain, that will lead to a rise in its hash rate and a respective drop in Bitcoin Cash's mining power. Both blockchains use the SHA-236 hashing algorithm. The nomadic hash is incentivized to flee already halved chains for chains that continue to retain their 12.5 coins block subsidy. Because of this incentive to arbitrage across chains, we expect the hash rate to be volatile, but we don't expect this to have a significant impact on the coin value, said Resnick. At press time, Bitcoin's hash rate is at 3.45 exahashes per second AS, having topped out at 5.00 AS on February 14, according to data source BitInfo Charts. The numbers suggest miners are already fleeing in anticipation of the effects of the halving. Meanwhile, Bitcoin's hash rate also dropped from 133.29 AS to 85 AS in the 3 weeks to March 20, and was last seen at 104.98 AS. Focus on transaction fees. As block rewards diminish due to the halving, both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin miners would need to replace lost income with higher transaction fees over the long run. Resnick said Bitcoin, with its 1 megabyte block size, may have to do away with its 21 million supply cap or somehow convince users to accept paying ever-growing transaction fees to use the network. Bitcoin Cash looks better off with a comparatively bigger block size of 8 megabytes. Even so, Resnick said the networks will struggle due to developers' unwillingness to acknowledge the fact that block subsidies are dropping and merchant adoption is not growing quickly enough to replace it. BCH and BTC miners and investors may be able to continue ignoring this inevitable threat this month, but they won't be able to forever, Resnick told CoinDesk. First Mover, a sneak preview of Bitcoin's halving in real time. As central banks and governments around the world inject trillions of dollars of coronavirus-related aid and stimulus into the financial system, big investors are becoming increasingly curious about Bitcoin's BTC potential as a hedge against inflation. And nowhere is that inflation resistance more evident than in Bitcoin's once every 4 years halving. That's when issuance of new units of the cryptocurrency automatically gets cut in half. The plan, expected to continue for at least another century, was coded into the underlying blockchain network's programming when it was launched 11 years ago. The mechanism's very purpose was to prevent a rapid debasement of Bitcoin's purchasing power. You're reading First Mover, CoinDesk's daily markets newsletter. Assembled by the CoinDesk Markets team, First Mover starts your day with the most up-to-date sentiment around crypto markets, which of course never close, putting in context every wild swing in Bitcoin and more. We follow the money so you don't have to. You can subscribe here. Bitcoin's next halving isn't expected until May. But two lesser cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV, are due for their halvings this week, offering an advanced glimpse of the quadrennial phenomenon. You're going to get a sneak preview of what happens with Bitcoin in a month, said Greg Cipollaro, co-founder of Digital Asset Research, a New York-based analysis firm. Bitcoin Cash, BCH, a cryptocurrency that split off or forked from Bitcoin in 2017, is expected to undergo its halving on Wednesday. Bitcoin SV, BSV, which forked from Bitcoin Cash the following year, is due for a halving on Friday. In the realm of cryptocurrencies, the two forked cryptocurrencies are considered also RANs, with a combined total market value of roughly $8 billion, versus $131 billion for Bitcoin. But since halvings constitute a crucial chapter of any crash course in crypto economics, the episodes bear watching. Many crypto traders say big price swings often coincide with halvings, providing ample opportunities for speculation. The German bank Bayern LB predicted last year that Bitcoin's halving could drive its price to $90,000, roughly 12 times the current level. The most likely outcome of this week's halvings, according to the analysis firm Arcane Research, is an immediate drop in profits for computer operators supporting the two lesser blockchains. These miners will then probably just shift their computing power to the bigger Bitcoin network, where the halving is still a month away. Such computing resources, known as hash power in the industry jargon, are crucial for keeping these blockchain networks secure, preventing theft or other abuses. It's going to push more hash toward the Bitcoin network, says Matt D'Souza, co-founder and CEO of Blockware Solutions, which brokers high-speed computers used for cryptocurrency mining. The loss of hash power on the smaller blockchains might make them more vulnerable to a takeover by a malicious actor in what's known as a 51% attack. That's when an individual or cabal amasses sufficient computing resources to co-opt the network, similar to the way a corporate raider might try to buy enough equity in a company to force a takeover. Mike Maloney, chief financial officer of CoinMint, a cryptocurrency mining company, estimates that if the security of the Bitcoin Cash network fell by half, an attack would require the computing equivalent of about 400 megawatts of electricity, roughly the output of a medium-sized power plant. By contrast, it would take 6,000 to 10,000 megawatts to attack the Bitcoin blockchain, he says. Bitcoin Cash's halving will hurt the overall hash rate, security of an already vulnerable blockchain, says Michael Toma, co-founder and lead analyst at cryptocurrency rating firm CryptoEQ. What happens in cryptocurrency markets, as a result of this week's halvings, is a bit more speculative. Prices for Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV might fall because holders of those digital tokens might suddenly start worrying about the vulnerability, says Dave Perel, CEO of Compute North, which provides hosting facilities and services for cryptocurrency miners. While the hashpower shift would bolster security on the Bitcoin blockchain, miners there would suddenly face more competition, resulting in a dilution of profits. We see mining as largely as an experience like evolution, Darwinism, Perel says. He notes that it will be difficult to draw too many parallels between this week's episodes and Bitcoin's halving in May. That's partly because so much of the crypto industry has evolved around Bitcoin, and there's such a huge community of traders, developers and marketers who are focused on making it successful, Perel says. In digital asset markets, Bitcoin is the bellwether, and lesser coins like Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV are often merely trading in sync. Litecoin, LTC, yet another spin-off from Bitcoin, provided a cautionary tale when it underwent a halving in August of last year. While the price quadrupled in the first half of 2019, it peaked a couple months before the halving and tumbled over the rest of the year. Suffice to say, the digital asset industry is still so new compared with traditional finance that nobody's really certain how the various halvings will play out. Many Bitcoiners have a remarkably sophisticated grasp on old finance concepts like the theory of efficient markets, and even within the cryptocurrency industry there are wide-ranging opinions on whether the halving, an event that's known years in advance, is already baked into the price. Halvings are not unilaterally positive events for cryptocurrencies, the analysis firm Messari wrote in a December report. Maybe Bitcoin is different, but maybe it's not. This week's halvings on the Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV blockchains will provide additional data points ahead of next month's featured event. Trend: Bitcoin is holding ground at press time, but struggling to take out the 50-day average for the second day running. The cryptocurrency is trading near $7,334, representing a 1.6% gain on the day, having tested the 50-day MA at $7,422 during the early European trading hours. A look at the 4-hour chart shows the cryptocurrency has failed 3 times in the last 24 hours or so to keep gains above the psychological resistance of $7,400. The repeated bull failure, coupled with the 4-hour chart MACD's bearish cross below zero, indicates scope for a drop to ascending trendline support near $7,000. The risk-off tone in the global equity markets also favors a pullback in Bitcoin. At press time, major European indices like Germany's DAX and UK's FTSE are reporting around 1% drops. The cryptocurrency has closely tracked action in the equity markets over the past few weeks. On the higher side, a sustained move above $7,400 would open the doors to $8,000. Chicago's trading firms look to DeFi with new alliance. Some of the most experienced trading firms in Chicago are joining forces to promote decentralized finance, DeFi, during the coronavirus recession. TD Ameritrade, Cumberland, CMT Digital, DV Trading and Jump Capital, plus venture capital firm Volt Capital and the DeFi startup Compound, all joined forces in the Chicago DeFi Alliance, CDA. Announced Wednesday, the new group will focus on providing advisory services to select crypto startups. CMT Digital Holdings CEO Colleen Sullivan said she sees a significant benefit in bringing together the Chicago trading community that's been active in the digital asset space for some time. Plus, mentors stand to benefit, too, by identifying talent. For example, CMT Digital runs both a legacy trading desk and an investment arm interested in equity opportunities. Funds that invest in early-stage startups may have more responsibility in the DeFi consortium. For example, Volt Capital co-founder Suna Amhaz said the CDA will help entrepreneurs get their startups up and running during the crisis, then stay as insulated from macro conditions as possible. She said she hopes the CDA will offer a pool of talent that crypto startups like DYDX and Yield can draw from so they can focus on their long-term visions. There's a real opportunity here to leverage financial and trading expertise from Chicago to support DeFi products around the world, Amhaz said. Especially during a broader economic crisis, there are ample arbitrage opportunities for companies looking to ensure liquidity for products or services that need Ethereum-based stablecoins. Uniswap founder Hayden Adams said March 2020 was actually his decentralized exchange's peak month, seeing $220 million worth of activity. That's $70 million more than February, or nearly a 47% increase. Stablecoins were the most traded, Adams said. There were some active arbitragers that were able to keep the prices in the right place and make sure there was always crypto available for purchase. Volt Capital co-founder Imran Khan said the CDA will provide startups with real-world trading feedback. Volt Capital already invested in one such DeFi startup, Dharma, and Khan said his firm is eager to find the next early-stage investment opportunity in the DeFi space. We're very early in DeFi. I think there's going to be a lot of hand-holding with some of these companies before they DeFi contracts become decentralized, Khan said. Right now everyone is just dogfooding their own products. The goal for us, as the CDA, is to help us get out of that cycle. With the help of experienced traders, Khan said the DeFi ecosystem can become more robust. All of the DeFi products being built are going to be catering to these large trading firms, Khan said. Obviously, we want users. But these products are so complex, today, it only fits well for professional traders. That's why some of the most experienced trading firms in the industry joined forces through the CDA, to help entrepreneurs understand and access liquidity. According to DeFi Pulse, there's still roughly $744 million worth of crypto locked in DeFi contracts, usually as loan collateral or smart contract deposits earning interest. The current economic crisis may stimulate even more activity among stablecoin users. Ledin co-founder Mauricio Di Bartolomeo said demand for his company's Bitcoin collateralized DAI loans doubled between December 2019 and March 2020. These are often average Bitcoiners seeking stablecoins so they can use DeFi platforms. As market volatility increases, we are seeing the need for more tools that allow our clients to switch between the amount of dollar loans versus Bitcoin, BTC, they are holding, he said of stablecoins. Crisis management. So far the DeFi ecosystem appears to be maturing in times of hardship. When the coronavirus crisis hit exchanges in March and crypto prices plummeted, people using the leading DeFi protocol, MakerDAO, had to act fast to fend off widespread liquidation of the system's collateralized debt positions, CDPs. New DAI stablecoins are issued when someone creates a loan backed by ETH collateral. So, although many exchanges offer DAI trading regardless of MakerDAO, no one knows how supply and demand for DAI might be impacted if the underlying CDP system faltered. Holders of the system's MKR voting tokens promptly added a new collateral type for DAI, the Coinbase-affiliated stablecoin USDC, which the exchange also distributed to DeFi platforms like Uniswap and Pool Together. In the most recent community vote on emergency measures, which ended on March 30, MakerDAO Foundation head of communications Mike Porcaro said more than 55% of the governance tokens came from a single account and just four voters made up more than 94% of the votes. According to Anchorage co-founder Diogo Monica, a custody startup that works with prominent MKR holders like Polychain Capital and Andreessen Horowitz, investors were actively moving MKR tokens out of storage to participate in those urgent votes. There was a very significant increase in interest from people using Anchorage for voting and governance decisions for Maker because they had to make some pretty hard decisions to maintain DAI, keep it healthy, Monica said. Almost all of the clients that had MKR positions wanted to actively participate in this. QuantStamp CEO Richard Ma, spearheading a startup that audits smart contracts, said he was impressed with how quickly the Maker Foundation rallied to resolve issues by using public polls for broader feedback. Plus, MKR holders are now voting on whether to compensate accounts that had liquidated loans. They had proactive communication, Ma said. We've had a lot of requests from companies wanting us to review their systems to prepare for these volatile situations. Diversification. Volt Capital's Khan acknowledged the community still has a long way to go before the DeFi system can work without its creators keeping a proverbial hand on the wheel. Ma added he's concerned the DeFi aspect of these systems might not inspire enough accountability for people to continue auditing public contracts. This can lead to hackable vulnerabilities. Startups like those involved with CDA are more likely to audit, Ma said, because they are responsible for a product or service and profit from it. He said he expects startups that work with Bitcoin as well, like Ledin and Thesis, will see an uptick in demand. The latter, which is scheduled to debut TBTC in April, will allow tech-savvy Bitcoiners to wrap the Godfather cryptocurrency in an Ethereum-friendly shell and use it in DeFi loans or interest-bearing positions. Consumers have a variety of choices at every income level. One area I think is going to take off is using Bitcoin as collateral for DeFi, Ma said. Generally speaking, lending and borrowing are here to stay. These DeFi startups already serve some retail users, beyond professional traders and investors, like Argentinian expat Mara Paula Fernandez in Germany. She had cross-border accounting issues in 2019 and now uses Compound to manage a significant chunk of her income. I trust DeFi more than banks. If I take small, freelancing, contracts, I'll take DeFi and save it, Fernandez said. But her trust in products that rely on smart contracts has changed since March's drastic market fluctuations. After Black Thursday, Fernandez added, I am no longer using DeFi products for a while. Shall continue using stablecoins and wait for a less volatile time to use interest-bearing products or loans. According to Sebastian Serrano, CEO of Latin American crypto exchange Ripio, DAI is the most popular stablecoin among Argentinians and demand for it among his clientele increased sixfold in March compared to January. Khan said he expects the economic crisis will bring in more users by winter, especially if local fiat currencies suffer. That makes this spring the perfect time for professional traders and technologists time to iron out the kinks in ecosystem liquidity. People are scared and they need something that will get them through this phase of life, Khan said in reference to crypto newcomers. It's not going to be Bitcoin, it's going to be stablecoins. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.